Areena.
If you've ever wondered what Finland's public warning siren sounds like, this is it. And it's the siren people in Uusimaa never actually heard a few weeks ago when authorities issued a rare drone alert just before 4 a.m. on a Friday morning. Welcome to All Points North. I'm your host, Zina Iovino. The public alert issued on May 15th affected the entire Uusimaa region. It's home to around 1.8 million people and is Finland's most populous area. Residents were told to stay indoors and shelter in place while authorities responded to a potential drone threat. The siren you just heard is for imminent danger. In this case, the threat was vague. Like many parents, I first realized something unusual had happened when I opened the Vilma school app that morning. Instead of the usual kid updates, I saw a public warning notification. The strange part? By the time I read it, the alert had already been lifted. But behind the scenes, Finnish authorities had launched a significant security operation. Air traffic at Helsinki Airport was shut down, and maritime traffic in the Gulf of Finland was rerouted. The Finnish Defense Forces established a temporary restricted airspace beginning at 4 a.m. Fighter jet readiness was increased, additional air surveillance personnel was deployed, and the military stepped up the use of helicopters and naval vessels. The Border Guard also raised its readiness level. Residents across Uusimaa saw and heard Finnish Air Force Hornet fighter jets flying overhead and off the coast of Helsinki during the early morning hours. According to the Defense Forces, the anticipated flight path of drones stretched across an area between Helsinki and Porvo. But, by shortly after 7 a.m., it was all over. The alert was cancelled, restrictions were lifted, and life returned to normal, sort of. Now, new details are emerging about what may have triggered the incident. This week, Helsingin Sanomat reported that the drone alert was linked to a Ukrainian military operation. According to the newspaper, Ukrainian authorities warned Finland that drones involved in a large-scale attack against Russia may have inadvertently been heading toward Finnish territory. Following the incident, the Finnish Defense Forces told Yle that the alert was connected to a major Ukrainian drone operation targeting Russia. But many questions are still unanswered. The Defense Forces have not disclosed exactly how they learned of the potential threat, nor have they provided further details about the nature of the risk. Neither Finnish nor Ukrainian government officials commented on the matter when contacted by Helsingin Sanomat. For now, the May 15th drone alert is one of the most unusual public warning events Finland has experienced in recent years. An early morning security scare that briefly brought the country's busiest region to a standstill before disappearing almost as quickly as it began. Now, with Finnish officials saying very little publicly about what actually happened that morning, I wanted to hear from someone outside Finland who could help make sense of it all. So I spoke with Keir Giles, a Russia expert at Chatham House, a London-based geopolitical think tank. He's spent decades analyzing Russia's military and security policies, and I asked him what he made of the drone alert and the extraordinary measures Finland took in response.
Well, this is not a surprise, because
neighbors of Russia and neighbors of Ukraine have been suffering drone incursions for some time now. So it was probably only a matter of time before it was Finland's turn. And of course, a lot has happened since that drone incursion that triggered alerts in Finland. There have been other countries which have also suffered from this phenomenon. Most recently, Romania, where a drone actually crashed into a residential building, injuring people. So it is an ongoing problem that neighbors of Russia have to find an answer to and will have to deal with, particularly because Russia has seen that the political impact of these stray drones is out of all proportion. For example, in Latvia, where an incident of this kind brought the government down, that gives Russia a strong incentive to keep on doing this, which makes it all the more important to find an answer.
So you're saying there's no reason for Russia to stop. So what is the escalation risk?
The escalation risk is the same as anything when confronting Russia. The risk is greater in not responding, because then that normalizes Russian behavior and we see an expansion, because Russia realizes that the boundaries have stretched further and it can do more without suffering consequences. And there's a parallel situation that we can point to also in the Baltic Sea region, where exactly that process has happened. Because Russia was not challenged when it first started interdicting position, navigation, and timing services, in other words, GPS jamming across the Baltic Sea region, it was able to expand that campaign and deliver greater and greater economic impact until people actually started to notice that this was having a real and genuine effect on their lives. So that's the outcome from not confronting Russia and not finding a means of deterring Russia by showing that there are costs and consequences for causing this kind of incident.
Earlier this spring, drones, including some carrying unexploded warheads, strayed into Finnish airspace on several occasions. So let's get back to something Kier said about GPS jamming. He's referring to the possibility that Russia is interfering with Ukrainian drones while they're in flight. That means taking control of them and redirecting them towards the airspace of NATO member states, including Finland. We've covered the Telegraph's investigation suggesting that a transmitter located in Russia's Kaliningrad exclave can disrupt the drone's GPS navigation signals. While the system has reportedly been operating for several years, Russia is now believed to be using it in a more advanced way. That is, blocking a drone's connection to navigation satellites and feeding it false information instead. In simple terms, the drone becomes confused about where it actually is. The transmitter first overwhelms the drone's GPS receiver. It then broadcasts a much stronger fake signal. Unable to distinguish between the genuine and false data, the drone begins to trust the spoofed signal and adjust its course accordingly. According to the Telegraph, the false coordinates can make a drone believe it's much deeper inside Russian territory than it really is. In response, the aircraft attempts to correct its route, potentially sending it westward toward the airspace of NATO countries like Finland.
What would be realistic for Finland and its Baltic neighbors to do in this situation?
Finland and the Baltic neighbors, and indeed Poland, all suffer from the same problem that has been constant when trying to respond to Russian actions that are short of an overt attack that would trigger a NATO response. And that is that whatever they do independently, they have to have the backing of the supranational organizations. They have to have the full and complete backing of either NATO or the EU, so that they're not isolated in tackling Russia on their own. And that's where it has been difficult. NATO, for example, has only recently started to consider what it calls hybrid threats as part of its area of responsibility. So that's a step forward, but it's still not as far as deciding what to do about it. And the EU, of course, we know is ruptured within and is not capable of delivering a common and consensus position on dealing with Russia on so many issues, let alone one as controversial as this. So that's the situation that we're in and have been in for some time now, that there are initiatives that frontline states have come up with that would be able to deliver something to Russia that would make the adverse consequences of this course of action clear, but they need to have the backing of their allies, and that was what's not been forthcoming up until now.
We also talked about how we can expect things to develop in the near future.
Well, Russia has a long-standing principle of if something works, they'll continue doing it until it doesn't work or until somebody responds in such a way that's actually meaningful to Moscow. So we should expect this to continue. By whatever means, these drones are being diverted away from Russian targets and sent into the territory of the Baltic states or other countries further south, Russia will carry on doing that because they've seen the very gratifying effect that it delivers.
Do you think that there was a gratifying effect here on May 15th?
Surprise and dismay that was evidenced by the Finnish public on that occasion with drone incursions would have been very gratifying for Moscow, and they will try to provoke more of the same until, of course, the effect wears off or there are countermeasures or there is some means of actually persuading Russia that another target elsewhere is softer and will bring greater return on investment.
Speaking about hybrid influencing, we also touched on next spring's general elections and what kind of pressures Finland might face leading up to them.
Well, Russia always takes a view on which party is going to be the one which benefits it most. And if there is a straight choice, because both parties understand equally well what the threat from Russia is and are equally determined to deal with it, then the interference that Russia will mount will be of a different kind. Simply this stoking up of social discord and of distrust in the electoral process overall, without necessarily favoring one side or another. But Finland will experience what always happens when Russia sees an opportunity at a democratic event. If it can lean in and attempt to spoil it for people, it will.
And there we heard from Russia and security policy expert Keir Giles. Finland has one of the most extensive civil defense shelter networks in the world. There are around 50,000 civil defense shelters with space for roughly 4.8 million people. That's enough to protect most of the population in an emergency. And right now, I'm standing inside one. This shelter is located in the basement of my apartment building, just like thousands of others across Finland. On an ordinary day, it's an unremarkable, musty space tucked away beneath people's homes. But in a crisis, it can be transformed into a protected shelter designed to keep you safe. What's maybe surprising is that maintaining these shelters isn't primarily the government's responsibility. Instead, the owners of the buildings they're located in, typically housing companies, are responsible for ensuring they're ready for use if they're ever needed. Now, in the wake of the May drone alert, the authorities have taken steps to remind the public what to do if a similar situation occurs again. So if you're indoors when a drone threat warning is issued, the authorities say you should stay there and keep away from windows and doors. If possible, move to the middle of the building and into a room with solid walls. The idea is to put as much distance and as many physical barriers as possible between yourself and any potential danger outside. I headed to the Interior Ministry to find out exactly what we should do if there's another drone warning this summer.
Hello, my name is Pauliina Eskola. I'm the Director for Rescue Services, Accident Prevention and International Cooperation in the Ministry of the Interior. Follow the instructions given by the authorities, because we advise people to protect themselves indoors, so that people should go indoors and seek shelter inside the building. And the protection period is often short, not that many hours, and the authorities may provide further information on the situation when the situation proceeds.
Should you try to get underground? What if you live on the top floor?
Well, you should seek shelter in the inner parts of the building or your apartment. The inner parts of the apartment or the building, they are the places where we instruct people to go, because not in front of the windows, because there might be shrapnels and etc. Hurting people. So we advise to go in the middle parts of the apartment or the building.
One of my biggest takeaways from the ministry was the emphasis on individual responsibility. While Paulina stressed the importance of following official guidance from local authorities, including whether it's safe to go to school or work during a drone threat, what really stood out to me was the focus on personal preparedness. The message wasn't just to wait for instructions. It was that people should already be thinking ahead about how they would cope during a disruption, whether that's having essential supplies at home, knowing where to find reliable information, or understanding where the nearest shelter is located.
How can I be, as an individual, be prepared for different kinds of things and situations, like power outage, or even if I see a drone approaching? And this is the main message that people would think, and think how they would act in different kinds of situations, and that they would have the water bottles and something to eat for at least 72 hours in order to be able to cope at home.
So at your house, you have water for 72 hours and you've got some pea soup in cans. Can you tell us a bit about how you've prepared?
I have water, yes, and also canned pea soup and tuna and some biscuits or some sweeties as well. And some cash, that's also a good point. And if you need any medicines, you should also have some medicines, what you need for 72 hours. Radio and flashlight that are also needed.
And this week, the government announced a new mobile phone alert system aimed at improving emergency communication. The move follows problems with the 112 emergency app during the May drone alert. The app experienced technical issues that morning, with some users reporting delays or difficulties receiving notifications during the alert. But despite those problems, the incident appears to have heightened public awareness of the service. We've reported that 112 Suomi has since become the most downloaded free app on both Apple's App Store and Google Play in Finland. On Google Play alone, the app has now been downloaded more than a million times. So, people are looking for ways to stay better informed during future emergencies as new systems are being built.
The FI Alert, the new system on public warning that will be developed and that will be up and running, so to say, ready by the end of October this year.
So everybody can expect a message to come through to their phone?
Yes. Even the visitors coming to Finland, they can expect the same as well.
Emergency warnings are currently issued through the 112 Suomi app, radio broadcasts, teletext page 112, and when necessary, TV. We started today's show by hearing the public warning siren. Before we move on, it's worth pointing out that what most people hear during the monthly test is actually a different signal. The test signal is a continuous tone lasting 7 seconds, and if you hear it, there's no need to do anything. The actual public warning signal, the one you heard at the top of the show, is quite different. It's a rising and falling sound that continues for a whole minute. If you ever hear that signal outside of a test, you should move inside, stay away from windows and doors, and follow official instructions. It's a sound that most people in Finland rarely hear for real. But as recent events have shown, and as we heard from Keir Giles, it's one that everyone should recognize. And now for a quick roundup of what's been making the headlines in Finland this week. The Social Democrats still hold the top slot among Finland's political parties. That's according to the latest Yle Public Opinion survey. The SDP's support was 23%, while Prime Minister Petteri Orpo's National Coalition Party was in second place with just over 18% in the latest rankings. Finnish Defence Minister Antti Häkkinen has rejected 14 applications from prospective property buyers, all from outside of the EU and EEA. The minister concluded that the transactions could pose security risks. Investigators say the destructive fire that broke out at an apartment building in Helsinki's Kalasatama district last month spread rapidly due to problems linked to the building's fire barriers. These shortcomings contributed to how quickly the blaze developed inside the building. Consumer prices in Finland rose by 3% in May, compared with the same period a year ago. That's according to Statistics Finland. Turning to health, alcohol consumption in Finland fell by 4.5% last year, compared to 2024. That's according to a report by public health authority THL. The latest figures follow a long-term trend in which alcohol consumption has been gradually declining in Finland over the past 15 years. And finally, we couldn't finish today's news roundup without mentioning Finland's celebrations after the men's ice hockey World Championship victory. Sunday's win secured the country's fifth World Championship title, adding to previous triumphs in 1995, 2011, 2019, and 2022. This is our final episode of the season, and we want to thank all of you for being with us. We'll be back after the summer, but in the meantime, you can stay up to date with the latest news from Finland at yle.fi/news. We're also available on social media, including Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. Before we go, I want to leave you with an Arena viewing tip. This time, it's Mr. Nobody Against Putin. It's a documentary film that follows a schoolteacher in rural Russia who secretly documents the impact of war and state propaganda on his school and community. And that really is all the time we have for today. Thanks to Pasi Ilkka for putting the show together and to you for listening to and supporting All Points North. We'll be back again soon. Bye for now.